This is Idaho Matters. I'm Tom Michael in for Gemma Gaudette. Americans love their dogs. And now with many people working from home to fight the coronavirus, our canine friends have taken center stage. A lot of us feel this through experience. But what about from an academic perspective? How has this relationship changed during the pandemic? What will endure after? Shelley Volsch is studying these questions. She's an anthropologist at Boise State University, and she recently spoke with our Morning Edition host, George Prentice. Let's take a listen.
I thought it would be appropriate up top, maybe if you could speak a bit about our relationships, if we can, maybe with dogs, our relationships with dogs and how they have evolved over the years.
Well, the thing about our relationship with dogs is we often start thinking about times of Enlightenment and Victorian era, when dogs had already started to enter our homes and our hearth. They were our hunting partners and they were our guard dogs on our homesteads and our properties. And we were starting, you know, elite classes in particular, we're starting to get into really categorizing specific breeds and moving into that kind of hobbyist realm. But our relationship with dogs goes back deeper than that. We're talking millennia of coevolution. And I think it's one of the reasons that dogs seems to be the pet that we mostly gravitate towards, especially when we're thinking about family members. And that's not to leave out the cat people.
Sure.
I always want to preface that so I don't get a lot of angry tweets from cat people, because they've also been along for quite a few thousand years. But dogs are the first animal that we domesticated, and they spent a lot of time cooperating with us and hunting with us and living in our camps and serving as sentinels. And so it makes sense to me then, when we think about industrial revolution and transitions into urban environments and transitions to the growth of middle classes where there is additional income and things like that, that we start to see animals becoming more of our kind of extension of our moral world. They become part of our family. And since the 2000s in particular, I've started to really notice and begin tracking this shift where they're no longer just pets. They're no longer just, you know, animals in our home, but our dogs in particular are really becoming individuals whom we parent. And I say it that way because I know pet parenting as a term has become very trendy. And so some people will claim the identity of pet parent without necessarily being what we would consider parents in anthropology. But there are definitely individuals who either don't have children or only have one child, or, you know, various other things have come into play where that dog has begun to serve that role of an individual with whom we negotiate a relationship. It's not just us, you know, extending ourselves onto them anymore. We're thinking about their individual needs. We're thinking about their individual personalities and desires, and spending a lot of money, a lot of time, and a lot of emotional energy on them, particularly in comparison to even those Victorian counterparts where they were a hobby.
So if we can, I follow you on Twitter. And what really what attracted my attention was your request to the public to participate in a research study by faculty at Boise State. So what can you tell me about what you're asking and what you're studying?
So what we're looking at is the differences in our relationships with our family, and family really kind of encouraging anyone who happens to be living in the home with us. Are we tripping over children? Are we currently finding ourselves working full-time from home while also parenting a child and teaching a child? Are we living alone? Are we potentially lonely? Are we only with a partner who we're used to being apart for 10 hours a day, and now we're on top of each other trying to do Zoom calls without interfering in each other's literal business? But then also looking at how is the relationship with our pets being impacted. So there's actually two components of the survey where it's asking the same set of questions about our family and the same set of questions about our pets. So our human families and our pets, and really looking at where are we, you know, inserting ourselves? Are we finding that we're, you know, mitigating the relationships, the stressors with our family and children through time with our pets? Are we finding that our pets are actually becoming part of the inhibitors to being able to feel like we're giving to our family properly? Like, how are these things playing out? And that's really what that particular survey is looking at. We just closed the survey yesterday, and I started crunching some of the data to get a feel. And it was really interesting to see just in a preliminary how many people were either living alone and really highlighting the importance of their pets and helping them feel socially connected, or just identifying that they are in fact aware that they're in some ways gravitating towards their pets as a way to mitigate and cope with sheltering in place, anxiety, senses of isolation, and those types of things.
And you must know as well as anyone that it's our understanding that many of the shelters are now empty. So there are a lot of new relationships.
There are a lot of new relationships. To the extent that we've often, I've talked with a few of my colleagues, including Sarah Biosier out at Hunter College in New York, because she's in, you know, was watching a lot of this happening. And some of our concern was, you know, a lot of it's foster.
Right.
We know from the research that once you adopt an animal or once you foster an animal, you tend to fall in love with it. If it works within your family and you become what we call a foster fail, which means you don't foster anymore, you're keeping them. And then what is that potentially leading to after, you know, after we go back to our new normal, after we start leaving the home again.
So let's talk about that new normal in a post-pandemic world. I'm assuming that many of us will experience, and our pets will experience, an entirely new level of separation anxiety once we do start leaving our pets alone again.
Yeah. I think that the human side of it, we're going to have that almost panicky, if you think about a parent leaving their child at daycare for the first time, that sense of, oh, I hope that they're going to be okay while I'm gone. You know, I hope that nothing happens to them while I'm gone, especially because we're going to all be very sensitive to the potential for injury, the potential for disease, that kind of thing. So the human side is going to definitely struggle for some of us to kind of, you know, feel comfortable leaving our, and particularly dogs, home. Then from the dog side, if they get accustomed to spending all this time with us, especially a new animal who hasn't had any sort of alone training, is what the dog trainers call it, right? There's the potential for this anxiety to come up because now I'm suddenly alone. And it might be that I'm alone for eight hour workday. Plus, if you go out to dinner with friends or go out to the bar another 2 or 3 hours that night, and remembering, right, that we've built this very, I mean, it's from a co-evolutionary perspective, it's normal for us to spend a lot of time and space together. And so when you start to pull that apart to go back to the functions of human society, that's going to impact both sides.
Can I assume that you have a pet?
I do. She's actually sleeping under my feet right now.
Okay. Well, introduce us. What's her name?
Her name is Lucy.
Okay.
She is about a 12 and a half year old pug. Oh. Her nicknames are things like Dame Judi Dench and the devourer of Snackies. We have a whole list of very like Daenerys type, Game of Thrones type names for her.
Oh my goodness. And does she have, does she have the appropriate temperament for that?
Oh, she really does. She's a sass.
Oh,
when people
gosh.
Say that dogs don't talk back, I have like 3 different recordings of her. Wow. She has this thing where she stomps her feet and like silently barks at you because the barking or the scratching at the door or the sitting by the food dish hasn't worked. And so she's definitely got her ways of communicating. And because we've spent time with her, we've learned what her language is for certain requests and vice versa. So like what I was saying before, it's about that negotiating the relationship. It's no longer putting her in a kennel until I'm ready to do something with her.
Well, you may want to consider a tiny Oscar instead of rawhide or a bone. she sounds wonderful.
She's full of sass.
Full of sass. Dr. Shelley Volsch studies human-animal interaction at Boise State, and lately she's looking at the relationship between humans and pets during social isolation. Dr. Volsch, stay healthy, stay well. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And that was our Morning Edition host, George Prentice. Up next, a new book on the women inmates at the historical old penitentiary. I'm Tom Michael, and you're in tune with Idaho Matters.